Like a flash out of the darkness, we are back. And we're going to start the podcast by saying apologies for missing the main show. And it's been a while, but we are back. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol, Lockdown. And we know that the lockdown has lifted in a lot of places, but we're still rolling. With me is the sensitive one herself, Miss Tifflebot. How are you, Tiff?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Man, I'm on cloud nine. I'm feeling good. You know, everything is just rolling, and you know, we're still, you know, amongst all kind of stuff. We shouldn't be happy. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. People are dying. People are catching disease. People are protesting, you know, fight the power. I mean, all kind of stuff is going on, right? I mean, 2020 is like it's a happy disaster. You know, it's a two-part thing. You
it's
know?
The longest year of our lives, and it's not even half over.
I know. but it's rolling, and you know, we've gotten involved. You know, we did the Blackout podcast, you know, led by Brandon over and Brandy over at Colt 45's in our group. And we decided to just keep going, man, with our protest movies, man, you know. So we didn't want to stop. Mm-hmm. So we said, let's do some more. So we picked this week's choice, and that's Detroit, starring John Boyega and Anthony Mackie and Algie Smith, Jacob Lattimore, Chris Chalk, Mason Abram. What's your boy? Putman? That's your boy, Tiff. Phil Putman. Is that his name? The cop. Putterman. Is that his name?
Oh, I don't know that guy.
Yes, you do. The one that played the terrible, terrible cop. Is that his name?
I mean, he looked familiar to me, but I don't think... I think you're thinking of the guy...
No, he was the guy in Bandersnatch.
Oh, he is that guy. The guy in Bandersnatch.
Yeah, that's your boy. You love him.
Holy shit.
Oh, I just gave you a revelation, huh?
Like, I have a lot to say about him.
Right.
We'll get there.
But that was, you know, that's that guy's been
but
around.
But that is him.
That's him.
Holy shit. Okay. All
right. Tiff just got a revelation, y'all. She didn't. she knew he looked familiar. It's something about this dude. But now you know.
Well, like, here's the thing. Everyone is has period appropriate hair.
Right. He always looks
so,
like
that. But he does. But, like, now that you say that, he does. But everyone in this movie, like, at first, like, for instance, when I saw Anthony Mackie, I was like, oh, I said, that guy looks like Anthony Mackie. And then I was like, oh, it is.
Wait a minute, Tiff. You didn't look at any of the specs before you viewed it, huh? You just started rolling hard.
No. I just turned it on. I mean, I knew John Boyega was in it because he's got, like, when you open it and you turn it on, he's on the...
Right.
The headline or whatever.
So, but you know, we chose this movie, man, because we kind of proud of John Boyega. You know, he was immediately when this stuff, he didn't join on like a lot of celebrities are doing now. He was like one of the first people going crazy. He was like, fuck off. I'm from London, boy. Fuck off. I was like, God damn. And then
he's got that, It's like the more, it's not like a posh accent. It's like whatever
he got the street accent. He got the street London accent.
Well, it's like a, it's not like a Cagney accent, but it's like from a different, it's from a different like part of London, which is, I actually prefer his accent more. It's my favorite one.
Fuck off. I'm from London. Fuck off. I'm from London. I'm like, oh, God damn, my boy bad.
And he's been like very, like, does not give a shit about your feelings on Twitter. So like, if you were like, oh, you shouldn't say that, he's like, fuck you.
Well, and you know something, he's notoriously a nice guy, you know, but
yeah,
you know, enough of this shit, you know. I get it, you know. And then he's at the rally with the megaphone doing his thing, so he said, hey, and Star Wars backed him as they should have. So I said, yay. We missed this movie. We reviewed the trailer a while ago and we didn't get to it. So before we begin, y'all, you know, this movie it cost $36 million to make in 2016. The movie was released in 2017, rated R, 2 hours, 23 minutes, and didn't make a dime, Tiff. Actually lost money, but $26 million it made. And you know why?
Go
ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. If this... Okay. first of all, I am so angry because mm-hmm. this movie is so good.
Okay, there we go. We'll see.
I'm sorry, we didn't do our one word.
But your one word is good. Good. Hold on. Let me do one word. It's time for one word. Okay, if your one word is good,
I'll say good. Yes.
All right. I'm gonna say ridiculous.
Yes.
And that's not a bad ridiculous. That's like
no.
the highest level of, you know, of an accolade. So go ahead, Tiff. I'm sorry.
So, like, the thing about the caliber of this movie is that, you know, if it had been about a different subject matter, a probably white friendly subject matter, this would be very successful movie and probably Oscar nominated.
People would be still talking about this movie, you know.
Yes, but as it is, I bet I could go up to somebody randomly and just ask them if they've heard about this movie and they would say no.
The movie came out and it quietly went away, and it's a shame because it's actually one of the best movies I've seen this year, honestly. That's not because it's my people. If it was Chinese people in the same situation, you know, with the same caliber of actors, it would be this good. In the same situations, yes. It would be good. It's a well-written, well-performed, well-shot. The cinematography is beautiful. And it's period. And y'all know I love period. And so it's good. So we're going to hit them spoilers before we trample all over it. And we're going to get moving on it. So you guys know why we chose it. And we have already talked about the actresses in it. So I just want to say right from the beginning that I thought it was an interesting choice from the director that Carolyn Bigelow?
Catherine Bigelow. Isn't that Cameron? Who did the Avatar movie?
Oh, James Cameron?
James Cameron. That's his ex-wife.
Is it? Now,
am I wrong? I think so. I think that's her.
I don't know, but I said Karen because I don't have my glasses on, y'all. So thank you, Tiff.
She did, if I'm not mistaken, so she did The Hurt Locker?
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. And that is exactly who you're talking about. I just got her up. She did The Hurt Locker, Zero Dark Thirty. God damn, she a military woman, ain't she? She did Near Dark. She did Strange Days. I love Strange Days. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, let's get back to let's get back to this. No, so Catherine Bigelow directed this and written by Mark Bowl. And so never heard of him. And so this movie, man, the interesting thing, the main character arguably is John Boyega playing the security guard. Dismukes?
Yes, Melvin Dismukes.
And this is a real account, everybody. You know, all the characters are real. Everything happens. This is not no made up Hollywood stuff. And he doesn't make his first appearance until 19 minutes into the movie, Tiff.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things I had written down to say was that it's 20 minutes from the movie before we see John Boyega. So at first I was like, was I wrong? Is he not in this movie? Because he shows up so late in it. But then there he is, 20 minutes in, he shows up.
And arguably, I can sit up here and say that this movie stars John Boyega because it is truly an equal, 100% equal ensemble that this movie is. It is not about his character. His character plays a part in this thing. And I thought it was genius that the director and the writers did it that way. What about you?
Yeah, if you do watch this movie. So this movie, when you start watching it, you might think it's about the Detroit riots. And it is. But it is about a specific incident that happens during the Detroit riots.
That made national headlines.
That's the focal headline of this movie is that particular incident. And so the movie starts off very broad in scope and then gets really narrow.
Gets super narrow. But perfect.
Yes, we see all these people who were touched by this incident. And I think that makes it very interesting to watch.
Super interesting. You want to understand some of the anger that's going on right now? This is a good movie to watch. So,
guys, it is horrifying that if it didn't say this is set in Detroit in 1967 and the people weren't dressed in 60s clothes,
you would think it was yesterday. Right. Ain't that a bitch? Nothing changed. Right.
It's fucked up.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's the same story. So they go to a speakeasy, a black speakeasy in urban Detroit. And they're
Fun as fuck.
Oh, they're like having
everyone's having a good time.
And celebrating the return of a soldier from Vietnam.
Right. I think that's like the primary purpose of that particular gathering.
Yeah, that party was bumping, man. And I'm sitting there like, man, I remember sitting in the room and my mama was throwing parties like this and I was in my little onesies with the little feet and they say, look at you and say, go to bed, get your ass out of here. So you would scurry on out. And so they're having this party, nobody's bothering anybody. And then, you know, in comes the cops. You got cops trying to come through the back, and they're looking for someone specific, which I don't think was there because nothing ever worked out. And so they have to use the front door. And the lead cop is a detective, uncharacteristically African-American. He played Lucius Fox on Gotham. This actor has been around everywhere. And they bust in and they roust the party. And he has an informant there, and I thought the scene with him fictitiously beating up the informant was hilarious. What about you?
Yeah, so I think that played out very, like as intended, because when you watch it, I was like, oh, no, they're getting that guy. But then it turns out that he's like, oh, I'm your partner or whatever, a plant.
He's in there hollering as they smash his shit. Oh, no, don't hit me in the jaw. The
wall with like a lamp.
I thought it was funny. And so they come out, and this is the only part of the movie that bothers me, Tiff, because they come out and they roust all the people, and they're going to take them away on paddy wagons. You know, all the cops are white, 100%, except for the one black detective, and they start taking the people away in busloads, and nobody really gets beat up. I was particularly hot under the collar and pissed when the shit happens. The cop was grabbing a black woman's ass and filling her up while she was trying to get into the paddy wagon and shit, you know. And so, they take everybody away. And there, to this day, nobody really knows why the Detroit riots started back then. And it's clear to me that the director did not know, or the writer. Because the reason why these people started rioting was not really warranted to me. I was like, okay, something happened during that arrest that is not in this movie, because all of a sudden somebody smashed a window and it was like on. And it was like, no, it would have been something. It would have been something. Somebody getting choked out, somebody getting, it's not going to start just because you arrested a couple of people. You know what I'm saying? So that bothered me. And it was clear that they didn't know. They were trying to figure out what was the reason. So they made it kind of, I wouldn't have rioted after that. You know, they busted out after hours joint. Okay, nobody got brutalized, but all of a sudden we're going to tear up the city? It bothered me. Mm-hmm. And so, moving on. So, they start the riots, and one guy breaks something. Next thing you know, they start looting. And it was on at that point. Everything was all going to hell. So, then we get our cops driving, our KKK members, driving slowly through the city, looking for the perfect target to hurt. And
this is where I remember. Montego and I spoke yesterday. I said that I turned the movie off for a little while after this scene because I was crying. It's a very sad scene. Obviously, this cop shoots. I'm gonna say quote unquote looter because they were taking groceries.
Yeah, he was running out with two bags of groceries.
What's he supposed to do? There's nobody in there. He needs food. So, it's not like he's like, here's the thing. I don't agree, obviously, with shooting anyone, even if they are looting, no matter what the circumstances are.
Me neither. Property never trumps a human life.
Now, it's not worth it.
Just so you know, Tiff, during these riots with real history, the area, the neighborhood was cordoned off.
And so they couldn't get out to get food.
They absolutely could not.
Fuck this. That is, okay.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
So,
old boy comes running out with groceries.
This scene is very hard to watch.
Old boy comes running out with groceries. And all of a sudden, it sparked Putman. And I'm trying to think of his name. I'm trying to look in the IMDb. He's
Philip Krause.
Was that the officer's name?
Yes, that's the guy who kills him.
Yeah. So, they start chasing him. But, Tiff, this is how I grew up. cops would shoot you in the back if you ran. If you ran, you got shot. And so he was running, and they shot him in the back with a pump shotgun. Not once, but twice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He jumps over the fence, and he's living to a certain point, but you know he's done. You know, it's a pump shotgun. What are you doing? And so he crawls under a car, and the cops couldn't find him, and so they go about their business. These four guys are literally out there looking for someone to hurt. They're not out there for law and order because it's all kind of shit going on, and they just drive right past, right?
Right. They want to, like, even if it isn't obvious to you as a viewer at this point, there's something later in the movie he actually says that he wants to hurt people.
Right. So
black people specifically.
This was beautiful. He goes into the precinct, and immediately after being questioned, the person, because the old lady was out there trying to help the guy underneath the car that has been shot. Obviously, he made it into the hospital and died. And The detective is like, so you shot the guy. Okay, I'm going to arrest you. You're going up for murder because you shot this man in the back carrying two bags of groceries. And you just sit up and told me the guy was running down the street with two bags of groceries and you shot him. What the hell is wrong with you? Now, the fatal mistake of this officer, it said, because they were shorthanded, okay, well, go on out there and finish your shift. Then, you know, we'll talk about this later. What the hell, Def?
Yeah.
What the hell? You let him go back out? He just murdered somebody.
Yeah.
So he goes back out. Now he has an axe to grind. So now we get our first scenes of John Bagger. He's ironing his clothes with his mama. He got two jobs. He works as a security guard. He works as a factory. And he's going to the security guard job. He's watching a score. So he's not in the hot spot of the riots. And he's protecting the store. The National Guard show up. And he's a smart man, Tiff, you know. So he wants to go out and befriend the National Guard and let them know that he's here. He brings them coffee as a peace offering. Even said so. One of the guys makes a comment trying to belittle him, talk about you got some sugar. He tells you don't push it. I like that scene. What about you?
Okay, this is really ignorant of me, but is that a racist thing?
It wasn't really racist.
Asking for the sugar?
No, it wasn't really racist. What it was just belittling because...
Like you bring me sugar?
And then it's like, okay, so if a white guy would have brought you some coffee out there, you know, would you would have sat up there and took the coffee and say, thank you, sir? Or would you make a shitty comment? Because we find out later in the movie, this guy's just a piece of shit too, you know?
You guys, everybody in this movie, besides the black people, are pieces of shit.
That's bad, ain't it? That's bad.
There's like maybe one or two white people who are passably okay.
Oh, the detective wasn't a good detective, but he was definitely knew that the Putterman character was a piece of shit. Yeah, I wouldn't classify him as a piece of shit, you know, not him.
Right, like so. There's other people in this movie that you're like, eh.
Yeah.
You get a pass, I guess, but you're still kind of crappy.
They send the crooked cop back out. He doesn't even tell his partners, his other three partners that what's going on. But he's fired up, you know. He really wants to hurt people, and so we have the guy watching the store. He has a partner. He goes out. And then
we got to meet the Dramatics.
I was just about to fast forward over to the Dramatics. Who was the actual real singing group, you know? And so they're trying to get a record deal and they're at a performance and it doesn't happen because the riots start and they have to, you know, get everybody out. We get introduced to the manager who we actually got introduced earlier because he was going to his day job. The manager shows up. They're ready to fire up. You love them so much, Tiff. What about, you know, you just love them. They're so earnest.
So you feel so bad because even though you know that it's not safe for anyone to be in there, including them, you want them to stay just a little longer, get their record deal.
And I love the people in there. It's the crowd is like 50-50 diverse. You got white, you got black, everybody enjoying the music. That's a good place to be, Tiff. You know, they just like, yeah, you know. The Supremes was on earlier. They're next. And they don't get a chance to go on. And they're just heartbroken. And so they get on the bus and they start driving back to their home. Riots is happening. They start tearing the bus up and they get split up. So the manager ends up going with the lead singer and everybody else goes their way. And so they end up at the, what's the name of the hotel, Tiff?
Algiers Motel, which looks like a very fun place to be if there wasn't a riot going on.
Shit, Algiers, where was that? I was like, damn. Look, you got black people, you got white people, you got everybody in bikinis and shit, everybody having a ball, right? But you're right. The whole time you're there, you're hearing boom, boom, ah, boom, boom. I'm like, man, there's all kind of shit going on outside the walls of that hotel. And so our manager and the lead singer gets a room for $11. And I'm like, man, times have changed. That's all I was thinking.
But even back then, they were like, well, what can you expect for $11? But wasn't $11 back then a pretty decent amount of money?
It's a lot of money. Back in that day, my mom made like $33 a week at her job.
Right.
At Ohio
right.
Bell. And so, yeah, $11 was a lot of money. They get a room, and then they go out and start seeing the sights. The one guy's a horn dog. He has a girlfriend, Tiff, but he wants to go out and meet some women.
Yes, but you don't realize until after he's already spoken to these other girls. Right.
So it's some Caucasian ladies out there, and they're hot for some something. You know, they're just free.
The 60s.
It's the 60s. It's time to get it on. And so they are free, and they are worldly. And they meet our two little young heroes, and they like them, you know. But they invite them back to their room, where it's like, what, 6, 8, 9 brothers, and walk in the room.
Well, they go to a party. They don't go to their room. They go to they have a friend who has food. So they're like, oh, let's go get some food.
Right.
But then they show up, it's just hot dogs, which, to be fair, those hot dogs looked really good.
But, you know, they essentially kissing the dude as they walk in the room. And I'm like, oh,
yeah, boy. don't bring a hookup to a place with a bunch of other guys who potentially you might have hooked up with or might want to hook up with you.
Right. And there wasn't nobody else in the room that was female. You know, I'm like, ah. So you have two Caucasian ladies and you have about 16 brothers. I'm exaggerating. It was probably about, what, maybe eight?
Eight, yeah.
So things don't go right. And what really gets me is when the guy pulls out the gun. And
it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, it was bad, man. It was bad, you know. And he shot the guy, and it was end up being a fake gun,
a starter pistol.
Starter pistol
for races,
for track meets and stuff, right?
Yes, yes.
And you know, our two young heroes leave, which I'm like, good. I'm glad y'all left. The ladies say, well, we'll come check you out, but we want to go see somebody else. So they on a proud tiff, you know. They're young and free, and it's the 60s. I
mean, good for them. Go for it.
Right. It's the 60s, Tiff. God dang it. You know?
I will say, so this is about the point in the movie where, like, okay, so as most of us know, a common argument that racists make is that if a person doesn't deserve to be harmed, they will not do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a very common racist argument.
Okay.
But this movie does a good point of showing that no matter what you do,
oh yeah,
as a black person, I agree.
Yeah,
you are in. You know, you're in danger because, like, these guys did. They're like, you know, they're fucking around. I'm not gonna stay here. I don't feel safe here. Let's just go back to the room.
And they went back to their room, and then I forgot the character's name. I'm trying to look for it. That took the gun and shot it out the window. Now, when he shot that gun out the window, the gun was harmless, but there was rumors of snipers in the area. Mm-hmm. And so simultaneously, our John Boyega playing Dismukes out there with the National Guard, they all hit the deck and they're running for their lives and they're trying to, you know, stay down. And they converge on a hotel where it came from, rightfully so. But Tiff, they get to the hotel and without confirming anything, they start peppering it with bullets. And I'm like, God damn, how are you just going to shoot into a building, you know? A hotel of all things.
As far as we know, at least this portion of the story doesn't say, nobody is harmed during the shooting into the building. So miraculously, everyone is okay. But then, rather than being like, okay, we've done this thing, they go in and start rounding everybody inside up.
Yeah, and this is where it's bad, because as they are rounding everybody up, the actual person who had the gun runs downstairs, and our cop, who loves shooting black people in the back, shoots him in the back.
Yes.
And then he plants a knife.
They don't even find the toy pistol. They just, and you guys, this is horrible, but it's something that we need to see because it happens a lot. They plant a knife on him. and say, because they're going to plan on saying, well, he had a knife.
Right, right, right.
That's why I did this.
Right. And now these days, you don't even have to say that. You just got to say, I was scared for my life. And I'm just boom, 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 right. So anyway, man, moving on. They line up everybody, the girls, the guys from the one room. Anthony Mackie is introduced at this point because the girls were actually with him. And he turns out to be a Vietnam vet hero. And then we have the manager of the Dramatics and the lead singer. And they terrorize them the whole night. And this blows my mind because I didn't realize at first they was using a tactic that what you would see at what Guantanamo Bay, where they kept putting guns at the back of their heads and, you know, sexually, you know, damn near raping the ladies and just terrorizing these people the whole night. And then you take a person in the room and pretend to murder them. And then threaten their life that if they say something, you're gonna murder them for real. It was intense.
It's very intense. And the thing is that it's so scary. They're so scared, and all the actors do a phenomenal job in this scene because there's a point when you're so scared that one, you'll do anything.
Yeah.
You're so frightened. But also where, like, you become, like, you do things that, like, so, like, when they make them all pray.
Right, 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 right.
And the one guy starts singing. It's because he's like, just so scared that everything is, like, there's no more boundaries within yourself. You've just gone, like, beyond. But what's so scary about these, like, fake, where they take the people in the room and they pretend to shoot them, is that they're so realistic that later, even one of the officers, another officer, doesn't get that he's not supposed to kill the guy.
And that brings us to our next point, because he takes his person back there because he says, have you ever killed an N-word? He says, no. He takes him back there and he kills him for real because he's stupid. He don't even get the cop game.
Yes, he is very stupid. And I will say, I want to take this opportunity to say that the guy from Bandersnatch, the guy who's playing the main cop,
Putterman.
He just has this, sorry.
No, that's his name. Go ahead. Will Putterman.
Oh, Will Putterman. He has a horrible... He just has this face. He just looks like a bad person.
He does. You know, he either looks stupid or he looks bad. You know, one or the other. And he's the ring leader, man. He got everybody going. The state police sees what's happening. They walk out racistly. So, you know.
And here's the thing. So there's other cops have come from other states to help with the situation.
With the
riots and stuff. And so the Michigan police see what's happening inside with the local police. So it's Michigan State.
You have Detroit. And then you have
the local state police. Detroit police.
Right. And you have the National Guard all in this room.
So the Michigan police are like, this is... he's like, oh, they're being terrible in there, blah, 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 one of the officers. And then he says, well... Civil rights issue, we should leave. At that point, I was like, so the thing about this movie is it doesn't let up.
No.
If you are a person watching this thinking that you're like, okay, someone's going to be a good person. One of these people is going to be the person that, like, makes it okay. There's not a person that makes it okay.
Well, you know why that is, Tiff? Because this shit happened for real.
Right. Because it never got to be okay.
Right. The National Guard guy got in on it. And he played the game with shooting somebody. And, you know, it just seems like he got off on it so bad. And once they found out that the dummy fool cop actually murdered somebody, now they got to try to figure out a way to get out of this without murdering more people. So they try to catch and release people and threaten them that if you say anything, we're going to come and kill you, which just made it even worse. So the Anthony Mackie character just plain sucker out. And don't let me forget that they took the young ladies upstairs and pulled off the dress of the one and were sexually intimidating them the whole time. I mean, it was just a bad situation. And then the lead singer, you know, took off. He didn't even agree or disagree. But then was captured by some other cops who were terrible. Then ended up beating the shit out of them. But then, so one of the heroes, the manager of the Dramatics, he couldn't agree to it. He saw the guy, he couldn't agree to it. And so now he got to go. So they killed him too. So
yes,
everything is bad. So this all goes worse than this. So the cops make their way back to the precinct and try to keep their stories together because they have to explain all these murders at the hand of their gun. And it falls apart immediately because the first cop goes in, it's bad, it's bad. Second cop goes in, it's bad, it's bad. And then the ringleader, he tries to go in and he can't even keep it together. So they're charging them all with murder. This is a victory, Tiff. I'm thinking this is great. They're all going to jail.
You think that this is the end of the movie, but you would be wrong.
You had about a good half an hour to go.
Because all this stuff, so they do get they get charged with that, okay? But then he gets a lawyer. He has a union lawyer.
John Kerensky is the lawyer.
Yes. Very, very surprised to see him in this part. But this is kind of right before he kind of got that big role.
He wasn't Jack Ryan yet.
He wasn't jacked up Jack Ryan yet.
Right, right.
So at this point in the story, one of our heroes is dead. The John Boyega character has been accused of being the murderer.
Ooh, Tiff, when they took him and put him in jail, I was just like, damn.
I know.
If he wasn't there, he was just trying to keep people safe that whole night. Man. And a young girl actually fingered him.
Yes. It's all bad.
Yes.
The thing is that one of our leads is dead. One's been accused of murder. And the other one, the lead singer,
is in a hospital with a cracked skull.
And he has been, he's got PTSD.
Traumatized to the max.
From the situation.
To the max, Tiff. Rightfully so.
Right. So even after he gets released from the hospital, he's mourning the death of his friend, obviously. And then suddenly in the middle of the night, one night, his friends, his fellow bandmates come and they say, you know, we have a chance to sing for this, for Motown. You need to come down because it's now or never. Well, he just doesn't have the heart to do it anymore.
Well, he went. And once he went.
Yes.
And he was cool. But then a white fellow walked in the room and he almost pissed himself in fear.
Yes.
Yeah. So they messed him up, man. And so this is the bad part. So they're having a trial, Tiff. They're going through all the evidence. They're going through the deliberation. The judge is a piece of shit. Everybody's a piece of shit. And every last one of these cops gets off.
Yes.
Blew my mind. But it didn't blow my mind. It blew my mind for a moment. But then I thought, one, this is the 60s. And how many cops have actually gone to jail for police brutality to this day with all these dead people? Maybe like right. Two or three, you know? Over all this time, maybe four. So it was all bad, man. And
yes.
The good news is that the John Briger character did not go to jail because he did not deserve to go to jail. You know, because they got off, he got off, but it was bull crap. It was terrible. I mean, they arrested him on his job and everything. And he's sitting there like he's like some racist bastard with those clowns. And so it was good that he didn't go to jail. So I'm thinking that's pretty much the end of the movie, huh, Tiff?
Well, they do show the real people.
Yeah, they do.
The fact that the lead singer never joined a band. He just stayed in a very small church.
They got a new lead singer, right.
And then the other people, you know. So here's the thing. The guy who was murdered, Pollard, his family got $5,000.
Ain't that up. Ooh.
And it's just a slap in the face. And then the other family who sued Detroit for wrongful death, they got a settlement. It didn't say how much a settlement was. It doesn't really matter. No amount is enough. But because they settled for the settlement, the cops didn't. So it was a plea bargain, basically, a plea deal or whatever. So like they would get a settlement, but they don't charge. The city would not admit guilt.
Imagine if that was your grandfather.
For the murders.
If your grandfather was that. Was the Putterman character. You know, he's walking around free. You know what I'm saying? Murdered these people.
It's just crazy.
Ain't it? Never did a day in jail. Just lost his job. Probably went and worked for a grocery store. Who knows? You know? Goodness gracious. Yeah. Again, the movie is rough, but I felt so much better after I saw this movie. It made me actually, not that it was a great ending, but it was just like the truth. The truth of something was put on, you know, the big screen for people to see, but nobody went to go see it. If you haven't seen this movie, you need to take your ass and, you know, get it on video on demand or whatever. It's a great movie. And if you care anything about social justice and you want to understand what's all the hubbub is about, this is only one incident where African American, Black, Afro, whatever you consider yourself, one incident in which we deal with. And so many like this, you know. And so it's a great movie, man. I had no idea this movie was this good, Tiff.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Yeah. So, Tiff, we came to do the damn thing. We got it done exhaustingly, you know. But only thing I can say, you know, with a movie like this is continue to fight the power, continue to stand up, continue to know Black Lives Matter, continue to know that racism needs to end. And if you are a racist, don't listen to my show. Don't listen to our show. We don't want you listening. To hell with that.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Like, take your ass home somewhere. Right. Oh, shoot. Tiff, we can't do the damn thing. We got it done. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is my sensitive co-host, Ms. Tiffelbot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
As always, racists get fucked.
Right? Damn it, because we won't go down. And as the poster of my favorite protester out there says, we are not our ancestors. We will fuck you up. We will be on patrol.
Perfect.